The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Well, that's a really good summary of what we're talking about throughout the summer. Hope. It's amazing, stories of hope, how they inspire us. And stories of hope usually have pieces in them of circumstances that we wish weren't there. Tough times, hard times, right? I mean, stories of big hope aren't about how everything went great and went better and went perfect and they kept going good all the way till the end. It's really boring movies. Wouldn't be very hopeful movies. But movies that inspire us or stories that inspire us are about people that go through difficult waters. And yet, in the midst of those times, they believe in something. They trust something. That something bigger than the circumstance will win the day. If you remember, last summer, I was talking a little bit about hope as well. And we interviewed a couple, and I have a couple I want to remind you of them. I don't know if you remember, Ryan and Laurel were up here on the stage with me in August. You can always go back in our website and look it up. And their little daughter, Bryn. Ryan, back in last summer, wasn't expected to live till that June with four-stage brain tumor, four-stage cancer, inoperable. And he's still alive today. He's celebrating Father's Day. Exciting. A couple weeks ago, he had to move back to Ontario. His family wanted to be closer to other family. He's in a home. He goes under a lot of pain throughout the days, a lot of pressure in his head, and we continue to pray for him. But God has really given him amazing ability to have hope, amazing ability to be sure of who he is and his identity in Jesus Christ, and to find a firm foundation. And so I've been talking to him off and on, back and forth, praying for him and asking him how he's doing. And he posted, if you pray for him on a regular basis, he posted a Father's Day message. I wanted to read it for you to understand what it's like for someone to have hope in the midst of extreme difficult circumstances. He's hoping his daughter turns 5 in a couple of weeks, and he's hoping to be there for her in that as well. Let me read it for you. He said, at Father's Day, too many of us are scared to approach our Heavenly Father. I think too many believers and non-believers alike see God as the Godfather, ready to whack us the next time we sin. Perhaps we should shift our thinking and boldly approach Him as God the Father instead of the Godfather. He loves His children enough to comfort and teach and mend each time we come to Him as our Daddy. He has never failed any of His children. He will never miss a t-ball game or a piano recital or a soccer practice. He cheers us on each and every day and teaches us as would a loving father. So when you put your trust, your hope, your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, let Him, Jesus, who is the Son of God, comfort you with His last words proclaiming, "It is finished." God did the work for you, not some of it, all of it. Trust in Him, hope in Him, rest in Him. So I pray the message you hear is how loved you are by the Father, and that regardless of your past, that He loves you. There's nothing you could do to make Him love you more. There's nothing you could do to make Him love you less. This Father's Day, give thanks to all the fathers, but most importantly, your Heavenly Father, who is a model of fatherhood. Take rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, realizing how unique a faith ours is and how grateful and thankful we should be in all of our circumstances because of it. God bless. Ryan Arnold. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word today, to learn about the hope that we have in you, I pray for Ryan, Laurel, and Bryn today. I pray you'd uphold them. Would you fill Ryan with this measurable hope that you've given him. I thank you for his faith and how you've built it on such a strong foundation. I pray you work through him. May he be a living hope to those around him, the nurses and the doctors. May he show the hope that he has in you. We pray for his health. We pray for healing. We pray for his strength. And we pray, as he's asked on this day for his daughter, that you would protect her heart. We thank you that you've given us a hope beyond anything in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this summer, we're talking about living hope, and one of our theme verses is 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect." Always be prepared. We're looking at that, and I think maybe sometimes we wonder, what does being prepared look like? And for some people, so throughout the years, being prepared, we sometimes think means that we have our script already. We kind of have our cue cards. We have our four steps of how to explain what Jesus Christ has done. And we got it all laid out and got our plan and our arguments and our, you know, defenses of our faith and all these things. We're prepared, full guns loaded in case anyone dares ask us about our faith. I really don't think that's what we're talking about this summer. I think it's more like this. I think we need to prepare ourselves by breathing deeply in the hope that we have first. The world around us is in desperate need of hope. We see despair all over, within our own families sometimes, our own neighborhoods, our own networks of relationships all around us. People struggle to see that anything coming could be good. And they worry and they fret and they're full of fear. But that song said, we are not full of fear. We've not been called to fear. We've been set free. And so I think, like, if we're going to give living hope to the world around us, it's like giving CPR. It's like giving life to someone that's lacking life. But in order to breathe life, in order to breathe living hope to people around us, and in CPR, before you can breathe into another person, you first have to take in a deep breath. So the question that I think we need to wrestle in is, do we have the hope, do we have living hope within inside of us? Does it fill us? Does it free us from fear? Does it free us from worry and anxiety? Are we able to rely on God's promises in such a way that people take notice? It's not that they take notice that nothing bad happens in our life. It's not that they would take notice that everything seems to be working out fine because of our faith. It's that they notice that although we have cancer and they have cancer, although our marriage is in difficulties and their marriage is in difficulties, although our teenagers struggle and their teenagers struggle, although our career is lost and theirs is lost, our health is lost and theirs is lost, but in the midst of those things, there's something different. That they would notice something. That they would notice that we have hope. And then we'll be prepared because they will ask. I notice that you're going through something like I'm going through. Tell me why you have hope. And so part of our preparation, I believe, is to breathe in. Breathe in first. Receive hope. Receive everything that we can have in Jesus Christ, that we would be ready to give life. You know, it's funny. We often, when we find people who are in despair or in hopelessness or frustrated even in life, and they don't know what to do, we naturally are very prescriptive, right? We naturally go to what gives us hope or what gives us a positive outlook. And so sometimes we give answers that we think will help them. And my wife does this with me sometimes. You know, I'll be groggy or whatever, and I'm not having a good day. And she'll say, you know what you need to do? You need to do what I do. You need to go for a 10-kilometer run. I think, oh, that's not, no, that doesn't give me hope. That's great that it works for you. And we do this, and sometimes, you know, if you get someone sick, and if you ever talk to someone who, you know, well, we've got sickness in our family, they'll be very, very prescriptive for you, right? They'll tell you what works for them. You know, you got to eat right, and they'll tell you to, you know, give up this or give up that or add this in your diet or, you know, put coconut oil all over you or you know, try this and don't eat that. And so we're very prescriptive to people. Sometimes we just say, you know, you just got to think positively. You know, you just gotta rehearse things in your mind. You gotta tell yourself it'll be okay. That will work. And so when people don't have hope, what we often do is we want to give to them, right? When you encounter someone, you don't like to leave somebody without hope. You ever notice that? It's true. You want to tell them something. Chin up, you know. You can do it. The economy will turn around. It'll be okay. You know what? Everyone goes through this in marriage. You know what? Your kids will work out fine. We want to desperately give, but what we tend to do is be very prescriptive. But what we have to be careful of is that we don't prescribe something that in and of itself does not bring about life. And so we don't give hope. We're not called to give hope like the world gives hope. We're not talking about positive thinking. We're not talking about sending out good vibes or good energy. We're talking about offering somebody living hope that will surpass and take people through all things. You know, we encounter so many people, and maybe you do as pastors, we to go to hospitals and we encounter people with cancer. We encounter people going through really difficult times or marriages that are completely blown apart. But we have something to offer them that's bigger than all of that. And we got to make sure that we offer them the truth that there's hope to be found in the person of Jesus Christ that goes beyond any circumstance that they're facing today. And that's what we want to look at. Hope is important. Hope is essential. Hope is like life. You know, sometimes we take it for granted when we have it. But a person without hope feels empty and feels dark, feels alone. But in Jesus Christ, we have been offered so, so much. I was thinking about How do we find hope? Where is hope really found for people? What is it rooted in? And I came up with, I think, a few things that Scripture teaches us that hope can be found in. And I think everyone around us is seeking hope in these areas. One is it's we hope to find something in our identity, right? In knowing who we are. And if people ask you, you know, who are you? And tell me about yourself. We wrestle with trying to find out how to identify ourselves. And we can do that for a variety of ways. And sometimes what happens to us is if we've lived a life long enough, we start to get identified with the things in our past. Have you ever been nailed with a nickname that you couldn't shake? Or something that happened and you meet somebody from your past and they remember and they remind you of who you were and you can't seem to get rid of that. But we all want to know who we are, what we're about. And you'll find people that are going through life and they often will say something like, I don't know who I am, or I'm trying to find myself. We also can find our identity, or we hope to find our identity, when we get accepted in belonging. And so hope can be found in that. And our world is looking and desperate to find a place where they belong. To be accepted. And I think it's at the deepest level that we would actually be fully known and fully loved. Because sometimes we want to be accepted, but we'll try all kinds of superficial things to get the acceptance. But deep down inside of us, what happens to us is something like this. If they really knew me, if I was honest, if I told them the truth about what I really think and how I feel, I'm not so sure I would be accepted. But we're desperate for that. We're desperate to be loved and have belonging. And so we'll find our belonging in things. We'll find our identity. Some of us attach our identity to something we're good at, something that we can do, something that we can be known for. And so some of us will be identified with a hobby or a sport, or some of us identify with a career path. And so this is who we are. And some of us get our belonging and we attach it to, I'm the father of so-and-so, or I'm the husband of so-and-so, or I'm the pastor of Crossroads, for example. And so we'll sometimes find our belonging, we'll attach it to those things. And in that, we search for significance. And sometimes we can get significance from that, because hope is found in feeling like we have something to contribute and we're significant. And then hope can also be kind of found in security, right? Knowing that something is safe and secure, and that we can have something to look forward to that will protect us, that'll be there for us. And so these are sound like really good things that we can find hope in. And they are, and all those things are great. But the problem with a lot of those things is they can shift and they can change. And so we have built into us a desire and a longing to find hope in these things. And we will put our hope in something. We can't help it. Because without hope, there's no reason to get up in the morning. And maybe you've got there and you have no idea why you're here, who you are, who accepts you, why you're on this world to begin with in significance, and you have no idea if anything's coming ahead that's any good. That is the lowest place that you can be. It's hard. Because we're designed to find hope in these things. But so often what we do is we find them in things that shift. And even though they're good things, and so we can find our identity in what we're good at. And so it can be your sports, or it can be even a good thing like a part of your family, or it can be that I'm a husband, or that I'm a parent. But even those things can shift. And some of you have been there when something that you put your hope in shifts. And everything crumbles. All four of these kind of tie together. Some of you have put everything, all your eggs in a basket into a relationship. And all of a sudden the relationship comes to an end. And you don't know who you are anymore. You don't know who you belong to. You don't know who's going to accept you. You don't know your significance anymore because someone rejected you. And you have no idea if anything's coming going to be good again. I remember there was a time in my life several years back where I took time out of ministry and I quit my job and I took a step back for 4 years out of the pastoral ministry. I had no idea how many of these things I had rested on what I did. I had no idea that my identity was very rooted in being a pastor. I had no idea that I was finding my belonging and acceptance for what I could offer and what I could contribute as one. I had no idea that that's where I got my significance from and my security from. And when that all went away, I found myself in utter despair. I couldn't believe it. I never saw that it could happen to me, that this shift, this change in my life could dramatically bring me to such a broken place. Everything that I had hoped in was gone. I had no idea what to do with myself. I had no idea who I was. I had no idea what I was going to do and where I would get my security from. I made a resume, and as I made my resume, I'll never forget, and I put on my resume, my education. And I put on my education that I have a bachelor's in theology. And then it hit me and I realized, as I was applying for jobs in the workforce and the world, that a bachelor's of theology, in other words, a great degree in the understanding of God, wasn't really going to help me a whole lot. In fact, it was a detriment. And as I'd interview people, people would interview me and they'd ask me, well, what's your education? And I'd be like, well, I know God. So I can run your business. And they'd be like, eek, we got to get this guy out of here. What is he going to do to us? He's going to come in here. He's going to judge us. He's going to critique. Oh, my goodness, we won't know what to do with ourselves. And I thought, I'm in big trouble. I have no future. What am I going to do? Go flip burgers? I had no idea what I was going to do. Because I had rooted myself in things that could change and can shift. And men, we struggle with this a lot. The number one time frame where the greatest depression grips men is at retirement. Because all of our identity, our significance, our belonging, our acceptance, our security was all wrapped up in what we did. And when it's gone, we don't know what to get up for anymore. We don't know who we are anymore. I've seen mothers go through this as well when their kids move away. And it's like, as the last kid gets ready to leave, they're like holding on to them as they go out the door. No! Because they have no idea what's now. What do I get up for? Who am I? And who's this guy I'm stuck with? We got to be careful because even these really good things, and I on my Facebook page, I have some of my fitness friends on there, and one of them posted real proudly, you know, life is healthy living. I thought, but someday you won't be healthy. I promise you. It will happen. We all eventually die of something. See, that's the problem with our medical system. We know too much. So we all die of something. No one dies of old age anymore. It's like something. Oh, something. Well, it happens. Something will happen to all of us. I know that sounds depressing. But it's only depressing when you decided someday that you put all your eggs in the basket that you weren't gonna, that wasn't going to happen to you. It happens. These things, your retirement plan, our careers, our retirement savings, all these things, we've seen it in our economy in the last couple of years. These things can shift in a moment, and despair can overtake us because it robs us of these things that we hung on to, we believe, we put our hope in, that do not last. They are not life. They do not give us living hope beyond today. It's fleeting hope, not living hope. And we are called. We are called to be living hope in this world. And so I think what we need to do before we go anywhere, before we are prepared, we prepare ourselves by understanding and breathing in living hope. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know that you have been accepted by Christ? That you belong to His family? Do you realize that you are significant enough to be paid for on the cross? Do you know that you are secure and there is nothing in this world that can take you out? It is important that when hope is truth, hope goes through all time. Hope gives you hope from your past. It's hope in the present, something you can taste and you can experience today. And it's hope for tomorrow. It covers the expanse of your life. That is true hope. It cannot shake. It will not change. As we want to look at Romans chapter 8 together, I want to stay there for this series the next few weeks from Romans chapter 8. I want to pull some things out of there. If you would kick your Bible in front of you, if you didn't bring your Bible, you can do that. It's on page 916 for you. So it's really easy. Romans chapter 8. And I want to read to you how you can find hope in your past, you can find hope in your present, and you will find hope for your future in the person of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." I need to pause there and I need to explain those things. No condemnation means in Christ, there's never going to be a time when your past is going to come back to haunt you. Your past has been dealt with in the person of Jesus Christ. There is no fear from your past. Some of you are so afraid of your past that one day your past will come back, that you're broken in your past and you don't know how to get over your past. In Jesus Christ, your past has been reconciled in the person of Jesus Christ. How does that happen? It happens when you belong to him. So if you flip backwards, you'll see in Romans chapter 3, it says, how do you belong? How do you find out to belong? Because this is important stuff to get living hope. Where do you get to belong? It says this, we are made right with God and belong to him when we place our faith or our hope in Jesus Christ. So when we put our hope in him instead of everything else around us, we become right with God. We now belong to him. This is true, it says, for everyone who hopes, everyone who believes in him, no matter who we are and no matter what we have done. Everyone has sinned. Everyone has a past. Everyone has fallen short. Yet in Jesus Christ, when we place our hope, we get a new identity. We get a new acceptance and belonging. We get new significance and security. So in Christ then, he lives in you. So wait, I'll go back to verse 2. And because you now belong to him in putting your hope in him, the power of life-giving spirit now has freed you from the power of sin that led to your death. So now you're freed from the consequences of death. And Christ now lives within you. That means it's present for today. He is here within you. So though even your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God, because you put your hope in him. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. When you put your hope in him, you belong to him, your past has been covered, and the Spirit is placed in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. I mean, that's hope for everything. Hope for your past, a spirit for today, and hope for your future, that he will give life to your body beyond the grave. He goes on, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful, like fearful slaves, like you're afraid of God, like Ryan was said, so you're afraid to come to God. That's not the spirit that comes inside of you. It doesn't make us afraid. Instead, you receive God's spirit who adopts you as his own child. He gives you belonging and acceptance. He gives you a new identity. He gives you significance. You can now call him your father. That's what he's done for you. So, for his spirit joins with our spirit and affirms that we are now God's children. Everything changes when we put our hope in Jesus Christ. We no longer are afraid. We no longer have to wonder whose we are and who we belong to and what's going to come next. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. So together with Christ, we are heirs in God's glory. In other words, everything that Jesus inherited through his righteousness, through his obedience in the kingdom, we become an heir of that. In other words, whatever you face in this life, what is coming ahead for you as an heir, a rightful owner of the kingdom of God, is going to be amazing. So hope draws us there. In fact, it makes us look around here and says, I can't wait to inherit everything that comes as a child of God. But do you believe it? Why are we afraid? Why are we worried? Why do we wonder who we are? In Christ Jesus, he resolves these things and he gives us great hope. He says, this is what we were given. So when you put the Spirit, we were given this hope and we were saved. So when you're saved, when you put, how do you get saved? How do you belong? You put your hope in him. When you put your hope in him, he actually gives you hope back. And a hope is something that pulls you forward. In other words, you just have a taste today of what's coming. He says, if we already had everything, we wouldn't hope for it, but we hope for it because we look forward to more, to something that we don't even all have yet. But we wait patiently for it, but confidently in this life. When we put our hope in Him, He gives us a spirit of hope. He breathes into us. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for Him. I want you to know that does not mean that everything that happens is good. There's a lot of things that have happened in your life that are not good, was not God's will, was not God's plan. It's the result of sin in this world. It's the result of the spiritual war we're in this world. And the devil's out there to kill and destroy. And he's amazing. He's masterful. And he's done it through all kinds of people. And he's trying to kill and destroy. And there's things that you've taken in life. And some of your health. And some of your relationships. And it's shrapnel from living in this broken, broken world. But he promises you this. If you put his hope in him. That he's able then to take everything that you have in your life, all your history, all your brokenness, all your past. It says in Romans chapter 12, a few chapters later, that if you take all you are and you lay it down as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, and you say, my life, this is the way it is. This is my past, and I give it to you. He's able to take that, and he's able to breathe life into it, and he's able to turn it into good. It's one of the things that Ryan's story shows us. He's able to take this cancer, this terminal cancer. I remember sitting with him a year and a half ago, and he said to me, if I'm going to have this cancer and I'm going to experience this cancer, then I just want God to turn it into good. And you can see God at work all around him. It cannot take his hope away. But it actually can breathe hope into everyone around him. Because he has a hope despite the cancer. God does not promise that everything will be good. But he says, you know what I can do? If you were to love me, if you put your will in my hands, if you come to me, I will breathe hope through your life to everyone around. That's significance. So what do we say? Romans 8:31. What do we say then about such wonderful things? I mean, our past is dealt with. We've been accepted. We've been adopted in a new family. Even if our father was a horrible father or our family's a messed up family, he says in Christ, he brings us into a new relationship. He gives us a new belonging, a new acceptance that can't be shaken, that can't be torn apart, that can't be wrecked. He gives us these things. What are we going to say about these things? He's fixed our past. He's with us in the present, and he promises a future that we can't comprehend. What do we say? If God is for us like this, what could ever be against us? What would we have to be afraid of? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. It was his idea. What happens when people bring my past against me? What happens when you do this? Well, it's God himself who made us right before him. He will defend us. Who's going to condemn us? No one. It's Christ Jesus who died for us and was raised to life for us. He's now sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he is the one pleading for us. What are they going to do? Take our past to the judge? The judge is the one that made us in right relationship with him. The one who sits to judge the world. He's the one that paid your penalty. What are they going to do? Your past is going to come back to him. He said, I paid for that personally for this person. No condemnation for them. I already paid it in full. It is finished. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? So what does it mean then if we're in trouble? Or we have calamity, or persecuted, or we go hungry, or we're destitute, or we're in danger, or we're threatened with death. Can anything separate us? Is this a shaky foundation? Can this be wrenched from us? Can this be taken away? No. Despite all these things that can happen to all of us, overwhelming victory. Hope is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. It's a guaranteed sure thing. This is our hope. This is the hope that the world desperately needs. So he's convinced. I'm convinced that nothing then can ever separate us from God's love. Not death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither fears of today, the worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell are going to be able to separate us from God's love, from this identity, from this belonging, from this significance. No power in the sky or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord, whom we put our hope. We will all hope. Everyone hopes. It's how we get up in the morning. Maybe it's just a small window of hope. Just hope that it's nice out. Question is, would you like an unshakable, unmovable, promised, guaranteed hope that can get you through anything? You receive that hope when you place that hope in the right place, when you place it on Jesus Christ. You find an identity. You get a whole new family to belong to and accepted by. You're significant and you're secure. This is what we run for. This is what we seek out everywhere we go. It is yours in Jesus Christ. I want to read to you as we close from Psalm 107. If you want to turn there, I think it's page 490 or something. I'll look it up for you. 490 in the Bible in front of you. Not in all Bibles, just the one probably in front of you. What do you do today, I guess? I'm assuming that we're not all here that breathed in this hope yet. Some of us know it up here. We've heard this before. This isn't new. For some reason, you're still afraid. For some reason, despair still overtakes you. For some reason, you still don't know who you are. So I want you today to know how you can breathe in hope. It starts in Psalm 107. I think this is how it starts. Give thanks to the Lord first. You can do that on Father's Day. It's great. We give thanks to Him. He is the good Father. For He is good, He says. He is faithful. He's the one who was there in the past, is there in the present, will be there in the future. He's the good Dad. His love will endure forever. It won't run out. There's nothing to separate. So give thanks. He has redeemed you. He has done this for you. So speak it out. Sing it out. Speak out what He's done for you. Some of you, verse 4, maybe wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless. Some of you haven't known who you are. You find you don't have a home. You don't know where you belong. You don't know who you are. You're lost in your identity. You're trying to find yourself, and you find yourself hungry and thirsty for hope. And you feel like you're nearly dead. What do? Verse 6, Lord, help. They cried out to Him in their trouble, in their loneliness, and He rescued them in their distress. And He led them to safety, to a city, to belonging, to a people where they could live. So let them praise the Lord of His great love. Are you wandering in the wilderness? Are you lost? Are you homeless? Do you not know who you are? Do you not know where you belong? Then cry out, Lord, help. Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone that puts their hope in Him will receive hope in return. Some people are sitting in darkness, in verse 10, in deepest gloom. They're imprisoned in iron chains of misery. Some of them, they've rebelled against the words of God. They just don't believe in what God has said. They don't trust it. They believe in lies instead of the truth. And so they're feeling like life is hopeless and dark and in gloom. And so what do they need to do? Verse 13, Lord, help. They call on the name of the Lord and they cried out in their trouble and he saved them from their distress. He saved them from their loneliness, from their despair, from their unbelief. And he led them away from the darkness and the deepest gloom, from despair. And he snapped the chains that bound them there. Lord, help. Some were fools. Some knew the truth. Some grew up in the truth. Some of you have been here before. Some of you have been through church many, many times. Some have grown up in this, in the Word, and you've heard the Word, and you've heard the truth, but you rebelled. You've went off, and you've done your own thing, and it says, and you, now you're suffering. You're suffering from sins. You're suffering from the results of living your own life. And now you can't stand the thought of coming back. You can't stand the thought of food doesn't even taste good anymore. And it feels like you're knocking on death's door and you don't know what to do next. What do? Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. And he sent them out his word again. And he healed them. Part of our healing process is replacing the lies that we hear in our heads with truth. The lies that you won't be accepted back. The lies that this sounds great, but it's too good to be true for you. Your past is too great. You replace that with the truth. There is no condemnation for those who put their hope in Jesus Christ. The lies that you won't be accepted. The lie that you're insignificant and you don't matter. You need to replace it with the word of truth and he will rescue you. Cry help. And he sends out his word and he heals them with his truth, snatching them away from the door of death. Let them praise the Lord. Some of you have gone off in your life like off into the sea in ships, and they went off on different routes, and you went to make a name for yourself, and you went to conquer the world, and you went to do great things and make lots of money and a big career, and all of a sudden the winds have come up and it stirs the waves, like it says in verse 25 and in verse 26. Everything's been tossed back and forth and everything's been thrown into terror, and you've been staggering around like a drunkard, not knowing what to do. What do you do? Lord, help. Let him cry out, help. And he saved them and he calms the storm and the whisper and the stills the waves. Cry, help. We do that by humbling ourselves today. Acknowledging him that our hope has been placed elsewhere and it needs to be placed in him alone. Lord, help. And he will give you hope. Let's pray today as we close. Heavenly Father, some of us here today feel like we've been tossed back and forth, like we're drunkards on a ship. Some of us feel lost in the wilderness. Some of us feel like we don't know who we are. We don't know why we're here. We don't have any significance. We don't know what it is that we're made for. We're confused. We've looked everywhere. We've looked for relationships. We've looked for money. We've looked for security. We've looked for meaning and all different kinds of things, but things have moved. They're shaky ground, and we've had things ripped out of our lives, and we're sitting here, and we don't have hope. Lord, help them. Help us cry out to you. And as we place our hope in you, would you fill us, as you promised in your word, with a spirit of hope? Help us know to the core of our being, we are your child. We are secure and significant, and we belong. Heavenly Father, for a world that needs hope, I pray first you would do a work in our hearts. Would we breathe in your truth? Would we trust in you and breathe in the hope that you give back? For those that don't know you, for those that have never placed their hope in you, help them just cry, Lord, help today. I thank you that you are faithful and you promise to fill them. In Jesus' name, amen.